This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to episode 235 of the Down to Dunk Podcast. I'm Luke, joined this morning by Taylor, Jay, and Andrew. What's up, guys?
Hey, Luke.
Dion.
Oh,
Dion,
happy birthday.
Oh, my Lord. He was so good last night. Let's just jump right into that.
Let's do it.
So last night, Oklahoma City destroyed the Mavericks in a weird game. Like, they ended up winning by, you know, 20 plus, almost 30. But what really, it really felt like it was contested all the way through. But
yeah,
I think obviously number one is the fact that Kevin Durant played better. You know, he still didn't shoot really well, but he did play better. They ended up winning 131 to 102 to take a 2-1 lead, which is the bounce back that you really wanted coming out of game two. Game two is one of the worst games I've ever seen, but they went from scoring, what, 84 points?
Yeah.
In game two to scoring 131, which is a little bit different. But I think you're right. Like, as much as we are Dion's, you know, fan club over here, he had a tremendous game.
He was great. He was four of eight from three, 63% from the field overall, four boards, three assists, a steal. He was incredible. He's everything that we want him to be. And I expect him to play like this every game now for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
The savior.
That's right. No, he was awesome. It's funny, like, Cantor and Waiters, like, the two guys that everybody, like, in the offseason were like, these guys are going to drag the Thunder down into nothing. They were both incredible last night. Cantor was so freaking
he gives them
good
problems,
last
man.
Night.
40 points between them.
Yeah, 40 points between them. He had 21 points in 21 minutes last night. He was incredible.
What was his offensive rebounds here? Hold on, sorry. He's got four offensive rebounds. He had eight total.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was even more than that, you know?
And he blocked a shot. And he had an assist.
What?
Things he doesn't do every game. He was great.
Anything else? We kind of died out there.
Randy Foy hit a three. He still sucks. Randy Foy freaking sucks.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's been really
He's not good. He's not. He, like, doesn't really have a position. Like, we want to say he's a shooting guard. He's not really even a shooting guard, right?
He misses all his shots.
He's the worst.
Yeah,
I wish he wouldn't play. Kyle Singler didn't play at all last night.
Yeah.
At all. Didn't even get garbage time.
Who did get garbage time? Josh Eustis.
Josh Eustis.
Hit a three.
The Michael Jordan of Montana.
Let me ask this question. So, just for fun, Randy Foy or Kyle Singler, who would you have to play?
that's a really tough question.
I guess it's Randy Foy because I have no
I'd probably,
good reason.
All I'm saying,
I'm picking Randy Foy.
Just because he can be away from the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's not going to pound the ball.
And for me, this is the greatest question of this season will be why Cameron Payne lost his minutes. Like, I understand some of it. Like, he's defensively bad in stretches and... But good Lord, could he be as much of a negative as Randy Foy has been?
Oh, I don't know.
Every time he's on the floor, I'm like, here it goes.
Tell me this. If Randy Foy is like such a Mav. If he's on the Mavs next year.
Yes. He really is, man.
He'll kill people like Raymond Felton now.
Raymond Felton was so mad last night.
How much better is Raymond Felton than Randy Foy? Like, strip away coaching, strip away everything. Like, how much better is Ray Felton than Randy Foy?
He shouldn't be at all.
Two times better.
The way they're playing right now, it's
not
it's
that much better.
Five times better, right? But they're not. They're not a different player much. I mean, Raymond Felton's better with the ball. Obviously, he's a point guard, a true point guard. But
Raymond Felton was pretty good.
What Raymond Felton's doing?
It is. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't played like this.
Steven Adams and him.
Raymond Felton took the most shots for the Mavs last night.
Hey, he was their best player game too, man.
That shouldn't happen. He was great.
He was the best player last night.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. Wes Matthews was awesome last night too.
Wes Matthews so good. He's so bad from 3-point line right now. He was better last night, but I think he was like 1 of 15 to start the series in the first two games.
It's like he tore his Achilles like yesterday.
I know. It's nuts, man. We've had an affinity. This pod has had an affinity for Wes Matthews
him.
For
an affair with him, some would say.
Taylor has.
All of us have.
Just make sure to clarify that. But Wes Matthews, he's everything you want in a shooting guard.
Yeah.
He'll play defense. He shoots. Normally, he used to shoot really well. You know, he's still recover. He is still recovering from that Achilles tear. That's impossible to be back that quick. But, you know, the Mavericks are just going to give – remember, don't – like, everybody that's down on the Thunder or whatever, like, after game two, whatever, that's fine. But remember, what was that, two seasons ago when the Spurs were returning. They just came back from losing that series to the Heat.
Yeah.
And they were eventually the NBA champions. Like, the Mavs took them to seven games with a lineup not much different than this one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm getting to where I forget that I forgot that I hated most of the Mavs. Like, and last night just reiterated all that. It was like the chippiest game the Thunder have had all season.
Yeah.
JJ Barea and all of them. But really, the biggest one was that Ray Felton, Steven Adams beef in the middle of the, what was that, the third quarter? I don't understand how Steven Adams got called for a technical.
I don't either. I think that he like accidentally hit him because he's massive.
Because his elbows are at Raymond Felton's temple.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. He literally moved his arms out like he was going to block out, and Raymond Felton's face was there instead of Zaza Pachulia's chest.
Yeah.
Right? Pachulia, whatever his name is, who cares?
Pachulis.
Pachulia.
It's Jojo.
It's not Zaza.
But they were getting...
Jojo.
It's a
Jojo.
Zaza.
Jojo.
They were getting so mad.
Yeah, that was a weird deal. Anyways, the Thunder crushed them. They should... If everything goes like we think it will, they're going to play horrible in the next game. They'll win the next one. No, I think that they better win this in five. Like the Thunder, if like
they'll finish this out.
They need to finish this series.
Well, get a week of rest.
It seems like they figured some things out. Right? And primarily make your shots. But the other thing is they move the ball a little bit more. You know, Westbrook ended up having 15 assists, 0 rebounds.
No bounds.
Which is crazy. But that also goes,
Somebody on Twitter asked us, do you think that was intentional or it just happened?
It just happened.
Like a, Russ, don't crash the boards because we want you playing defense kind of deal.
I think that the Mavericks have worked really hard after game one to fill the lane and not allow.
They have.
Like, they're putting bodies on people. Everybody's around the rim. Like, a shot goes up and all five of them are crashing. Nobody's leaking out for a shot. And where Russ normally gets you is the one or two people that are going to transition aren't going to block him out. And it just kind of creates this wide open lane for him to go. And they still get offensive rebounds and they still out-rebounded him. But I think they out-rebounded him by, 12? Yeah, so they outran him by 12, 42-30. But I don't know. I think it's more strategy on the Mavericks than it is anything.
Yeah, I don't think that was intentional by Russ.
A lot of people were harping on Russ's defense after game two.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention enough to his game. I was more just throwing things at the wall because of Kevin Durant's game. But did you make any noticeable differences in his game from last night to game two?
I think that he gave a little bit more effort, but there were still plays where you were just like, oh, man. Like, he's not engaged or he's not fighting over that screen to get to the spot that he needs to. There are still several lapses. So you kind of wonder, like, how much is Donovan, like, getting on to Russ for, like, every horrendous defensive possession? And, A, is it even worth him – pissing him off? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what that relationship dynamic is. But I thought he was okay. I thought he was better. I didn't think that he was game one Russ, where he was like, Russ was fighting for everything in that game. But he's better. So he's got to be better. Like, if he can't play like he did in game two and the Thunder get anywhere past
the Warriors, around. The Spurs.
The Spurs will kill him.
I was thinking about that game too, and I was like, how did they play that bad? I know Kevin Durant shot 7-33. I understand that. Yep. But everyone else, I mean, we played pretty bad game two. The Mavs were making things that they shouldn't usually make. And was that because is that because the Thunder came in and just smoked them in game one and like kind of mentally checked out and like, this is going to be a breeze. We're not going to have to worry about
it. I think that's part of it, yeah.
Which sucks. Like, that's what defines, like, to me, that's what defines great teams and the Thunder right now. Like, the Spurs knew from game, they didn't have to even play the series, and they knew they would beat the Grizz. Like, right? They don't have to play a play.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are even a different story. I mean, the Mavs are banged up, but The Grizzlies are a different story. Yeah.
I think that in, you know, I said initially that I thought Houston was the best from 5 to 8. And I know it's probably a homer decision, but I always just undercut the effort that they're going to get out of the Mavericks and just the way that they're going to just fight. They're like an old man YMCA team, right?
The way
like
that they just coach, come out
there and they just play hard and they're not going to let you, you know, push them around. And Houston gets pushed around a little bit and they just fold.
Yeah.
So I've got a question. Who right now is your least favorite Mav? Mine is Mejri. I hate him.
Yeah, Villanueva, I think, is one that I kind of dislike because I've just always been so I've always disliked his basketball game primarily, but then, like, who are you? Like, why would you be the person to start some sort of...
Jay, he's a cancer to his team in this league. Kevin Garnett.
No, then he also said that he looked like a cancer patient.
I still hate JJ Barea. Yeah. I still can't stand the dude. Yeah. I don't know. He wasn't that good last night.
Hey, you know, Andre Robertson is so good defensively.
He was great.
And that's a small decision, right? Like, and some of it may be just lineup dictated, right? Like they started JJ, but they've put Robertson, anytime JJ Barea is on the floor, it feels like Robertson's on him.
Yeah.
And he is frustrating the crap out of Barea.
That's great.
There's one play where, and I can't remember what it was, probably third or fourth quarter, and Barea is going over screen. It ended up being the play. I think it ended up being the play where Dirk Nowitzki and Robertson got in a little tiff.
that was great.
Because what ended up happening is JJ Barea is on the top of the – he's kind of on the corner of the wing, and he goes around on top of the perimeter around the Dirk pick. And what you see it is as Barea is moving to go to the screen, he blatantly clears Robertson with his off elbow, you know, like elbows him in the chest and clears him off of him. And then Robertson runs through Dirk and, you know, they throw fit and whatever. But you can tell he's visibly frustrated. And Barea is hurt.
He is.
He's slower, you know, whatever, but Robertson's playing. Robertson and Durant, I've been really impressed with a lot of just watching some individual plays of Durant playing defense. But the biggest thing to me, the biggest development from this series that will be going forward, and I want to hear your opinions about this as well, obviously, but Serge Ibaka looks like Serge Ibaka.
Dude was awesome last night.
He was so good last
night. His shot's back, which is the biggest thing. Because he's hitting that mid-ranger, and it just looks easy again. Because there were just so many games in this regular season where, like, he made everything look difficult.
Yeah.
Like, everything he was had to give so much effort for, and it wasn't working. But things look easy for him again. I don't know if it was, like, the rest that he got at the end of the season or just the motivation, you know, behind this playoff run or maybe the really great short documentary that was put out by the Vertical for him. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
He's great, man. And his defense has been on point. He had 2 assists last night, which is a really... That's an oddity for a guy like Serge Ibaka, who can barely pass the
ball. He had 2 assists and Kanter had 1. The ball was just flying around the court.
For real.
He did have a... He's had a couple... So, he's still hesitating a little bit on threes. Like, I feel like out of anybody on the team, he has much of a right to just chuck it when he hits it on the perimeter. Like, he's maybe the second best 3-point shooter on the team. Third behind Morrow and Durant. But,
yeah, probably third. Cam.
But there's a couple times where
Josh Huestis.
He would pump fake. He actually was playing basketball. It's weird. Normally he gets the ball and he shoots it, or he gets the ball and passes it right back.
Yeah.
He pump fake a couple times. Dirk would close out and then he would try to attack at the rim, which is something you rarely saw out of Serge. And not most of the time he would get to the middle of the paint and then he'd pass it back out, but at least something to move the ball around. It was kind of impressive. But that's a big development, man. If he can continue to feel the way he's feeling, like, they have a shot with any series they play.
Yes. Yes. They have a much better shot. I feel like just watching this team, they have a better shot of beating the Spurs than I thought.
Yeah.
Because if Ibaka can be the old Serge Ibaka, then they have always struggled with him. And now they have LaMarcus, and you're going to need him to be able to kind of match him a little bit in a lot of ways. So, yeah, he's been awesome. Steven Adams, his stat lines have not been impressive, but he has been really key to this team's success. So he's been great. Nick Collison was not real good last night.
No,
he was awesome.
Pretty ineffective.
Awesome in game one. He looks like he looks like old Nick Collison, but now he looks like old Nick Collison.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to mention from last night's game. Small differences in the second half, and so you could see at some point where Donovan, it seems to, he made the decision to have Waiters be that backup point guard. Yeah. Did you notice that? Waiters was bringing the ball up a little more. He was being the one that kind of instigated the offense. And Waiters, for all of Waiters' problems, that makes way more sense than Randy Foy.
It makes Waiters more sense.
Got him.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel more comfortable just in at my home and on my couch watching Waiters bring the ball off the floor. Than,
much more happy, too.
Because you know at least Waiters can make something happen.
Yeah.
Like he can at least get into the lane. He can at least maybe make a skip pass across the court to a shooter. Like, you know that he can at least make something happen. It's not always a great thing, but Foy just feels like when he gets the ball, like, man, nothing happens. He cannot initiate an offense. Like, he cannot run anything, and he's usually just missing whatever jumper he's given. Like, he has been just so bad.
But beyond the fact that the offense doesn't, like, so normally when the offense doesn't move, which has happened, it happens when Russ is on the court, it happens when Waiters is on the court, right? The difference is that Russ and Waiters can do something.
Yes.
Anytime Randy Foy tries to go to the basket, it's just like, just please.
Come on, he puts up a terrible floater. That's what happens every time. Just clanks out.
And in those moments, that's where I'm like, just throw it to a post player. Like, we've got two. Steven Adams can do something.
Yeah, give it to. Yeah.
So even, but of course, Kanter can. So
yeah, play campaign, free campaign. Come on.
It's the campaign to free campaign.
Come on.
Guys,
he's got to play.
Let's do some Twitter questions.
We got to run through the other series, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we can.
So we don't have to cover these in detail, but
not a lot of them are that interesting.
Anything surprising, anything?
Last night James Harden hit a game winner and his bench did not celebrate.
That was hilarious.
Clint Capella celebrated and no one else did. It was so weird.
Well, and then his celebration was weird because, like, Monta Ellis was, like, wanting to come, like, chest bump him. And he, like, literally just, like, pushed him out of the way and just, like, kept walking.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was a weird
time.
That
team is a mess. I hate that they won that game. I really
don't
want to
see any more of the Rockets.
Game. No.
Especially after the E30. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. E60.
Whatever.
Don't talk.
I'm not bringing it up. Yeah, I'm not doing it other than
you
that.
You just did. Thanks, Jay.
Lies.
So that game was really pretty crazy at the end. Mm-hmm. Both teams were trying to give the game to the other team.
I know. Iguodala. But also, like, the Warriors were really trying to win. And the Rockets were kind of trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, the inbound that led to that fast break with the Ian Clark layup.
Yeah.
Where Risa just, like, lobs, like, this, like, horrible inbounds pass. I mean, it was just, like, this little rainbow.
Unnecessary.
And Livingston steals it. They get a fast break from Ian Clark. He thought, like, oh, that's the game. That's it. And then there was no timeouts for the Rockets, and James Harden brought the ball down the court. And they just – Clay just basically – or no, it was Iguodala. Iguodala's playing him straight up, and he just got separation and hit that jumper. And then the inbounds after that, because there's still 2 seconds left, and they called, you know, Warriors called a timeout. They had it at half court, and they threw it in to Draymond, and he, like, was, like, trying to, like, dribble before he even caught the ball, and he dribbled it off his foot out of bounds.
Yep.
That's a very un-Warriors play.
Well, when it there's was, no Steph.
Yeah, that's fairly significant.
Yeah.
Draymond kind of sucked last night.
Yeah. Yeah, Monta Ellis was really good last night.
He was pretty good,
and Dwight was pretty good.
Yeah, Dwight had a good game.
Didn't finish the game.
Somebody on Twitter was just like, this is Dwight's next year contract series.
Right? It is. Yeah. That was his contract game. Yeah,
And was on the bench at the very end of the game.
There's no question to me watching him play. Like, he needs to get out of Houston.
He's going to, yeah.
Like, what about him in Boston?
If they're willing, I mean,
like, a good coach, like a team that he could get the ball more. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense.
Like, he could still be a great center.
It'll just come down to, does Boston want to pay this guy?
Was it 5 years?
Yeah.
And what sucks for Dwight is it's not for basketball reasons that teams wouldn't want him. it's for like these total like bullcrap personality character issues that he has. You know,
No one likes him.
Yep. No one likes him.
Any other series? So, speaking of two series that are really surprising me, and I think it's probably similar, maybe for the rest of you is. I've been surprised that the Clippers are destroying the Trailblazers like they are. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that. I thought Portland would put more of a fight up. And then the Miami. Like, I don't know if Miami's really good, if Charlotte's – like, I don't know what to think about that series.
Man, Miami is just, like, on fire right now.
Like, unsustainable, right?
Yeah, they're hitting shots that they weren't – they're hitting shots that they weren't hitting in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, Lal Dang, that dude is
Lal Dang, man,
just going crazy.
He really is going crazy.
He is going crazy. And Charlotte, like, man, like Marvin Williams has been awful. I think
we were hyping him so hard.
He's like 1 for 20 or something like that in the playoffs. He's been really bad. Jeremy Lamb can't get off the bench. Batum's hurt now. Batum may be out for the playoffs.
Out for the playoffs.
Well, they're freaking done.
Yeah, they're done. Batum was the cog that could make that work in the playoffs.
Yeah. Kemba's hasn't been anything near what I was hyping him to be.
Lin? Nope.
No, not Jeremy Lin. Well, yeah, that sucks.
But they got 8 bigs that they're playing, so that's good.
Toronto looks good now. The game one was like, oh no, don't do this again, Toronto. Yeah. Don't do this again.
The fans were all, we talked about how tight they were going into that, the fans. I'm sure after game one, they were just like, mode. Gosh, Can't imagine being on local radio or whatever.
Everybody. No, they looked really good last night.
And part of that's because DeMar DeRozan showed back up.
DeMar DeRozan was he was getting to the line again.
Somebody said on Twitter last night, like, man, who's this shooting guard that Toronto has? I'm glad they finally started him in game three.
DeMar Carroll was good on Paul George last night, too.
And Indiana's offense is crap like it was season again.
Yeah.
What happened to Miles Turner? Is this rookie in playoffs?
He's good. He was actually shooting good last the ball night? Well.
It's like him and Paul George and George Hill are the only good players on that team.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that team is crap.
You guys talked a little bit about it yesterday and some of these text conversations. Talk a little bit about Cleveland and Detroit, Taylor. You talked a little bit about playoff LeBron and forgetting how good he is.
LeBron is so dang good. Like, if you watch I watch the games and I realize all these little things that's going on, but then watch a highlight package after and you realize everything is LeBron, is like based on LeBron. It's a LeBron pass, a LeBron dunk, a LeBron making a weird face at Marcus Morris because he wouldn't close out on a three. Like, just everything is LeBron right now, and it's so funny and fun, and he's so freaking good still. He's just so good.
Yeah, he really controls all these games.
Everything.
Yeah, he had an underrated season, mostly because he's a big, dumb weirdo. But he's so good though. Like they're going to get to the Eastern Conference, or they're going to win the East again, just because he's incredible. Like, what would this team do without him, or with like a guy that's just like replacement level for LeBron?
Like maybe 8 seed, maybe not.
I know. Like Kyrie's been pretty good, but you just don't trust him.
I don't trust him.
And then
at
like
all.
The Kevin Love, like the dude can put up. He can put up numbers, and he's a good like second or third guy, but I don't know. LeBron just makes this team everything it is, and they're just destroying the Pistons right now.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying how the Pistons are just breaking down emotionally at this point too, and saying saying whatever they want to reporters. Stanley Johnson saying, "Yeah, I think I'm in LeBron's head."
I'm in LeBron's head
is the most ridiculous thing. Oh. After literally awesome. The game after LeBron was like 3 of 3 when Stanley Johnson was guarding him, and
I thought it was was it 6 for 6?
Oh, was it 6 for 6?
I thought it was something.
Maybe it was more than that, but he had no one could do anything against LeBron. Just
LeBron
funny.
In the series, 2 games, 21 out of 35 from the field.
And
that was in the interview yesterday. He was just like, "There is no Stan in my head. It's not he just like
Stan,
went through all the
Stan Lee,
Stan Lee.
Steve Blake sucks. Everybody, we already knew that.
Oh, what?
Reggie Jackson. How did you feel about Reggie's, not this past game, but game two, the end of game two?
I thought it was so stupid. I was like, what? This is the dumb Reggie that everyone in OKC hates. That was so stupid. What was it, a 2-point game?
Yeah.
A 4-point game? Something like that. And he gets a technical on a foul that was
game one, wasn't it?
No, that was game two. It was like probably a foul, but not really a foul. Not something that you get a tech over
but
for
like,
missing a call.
He is marching over to, like, you just knew, like, oh, he's going to get teed up. This is so
stupid.
This is so great.
Stan Van.
This is so awesome.
So mad. He's got to be so mad at moments like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Reggie just collapsed.
Drummond isn't finishing. He didn't finish that game two, I don't think. I don't think he closed out game two.
No, I mean, Drummond is still, like, this dude, I think he's, like, the same age as Steven Adams. Like, this, he's still really young. He's really good, but he's not a refined player at all. And so, like, his free throws are, like, a real problem for this team. He was 4 of 16 in game two. Yeah. I mean, like, that's a real problem for this team that they've got to figure stuff out. Like, Aaron Baines ends up getting minutes just because he can't hit free throws. And his defense is just, he's not a refined defensive player. But anyways, it's been a kind of fun series, even though it's likely a sweep. Sucks for Boston that Avery Bradley is out.
Yeah, and that Atlanta is just clicking now on everything.
Atlanta is smoking them.
Just killing them. And I thought, you know, Boston was kind of a second half team all season long. Like, they had so many games that they were kind of looking crappy in the first half and then would come back. And they did it in the last game in the regular season in Miami. And so I kind of thought that's what would happen with this Atlanta team in this series. But, man, Atlanta is just pouring it on.
You kind of forget, like, how good Atlanta was last year.
Yes. And defensively, how good they are this year and how little options Boston has offensively.
They were basically the best defensive team the last, like, 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And they've really shown that. Like, Paul Millsap is so freaking good. Al Horford's great.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague is really just smart. Like, he knows what to do.
Yeah, I don't like that Jeff Teague is taking so much heat. I feel like people have just been dogging Jeff Teague this year, and I don't know why. He's fine. He's not bad. He's a good point guard.
It's low-hanging fruit, man.
I guess. Low-hanging.
We don't have to talk about Memphis, San Antonio. Man, the Clippers are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they're a really good team.
Yeah, they'll crumble next round.
They will get destroyed by... Well, let's talk about Steph. Let's go... Like. So they did an MRI on his ankle, and there was nothing of concern on the MRI.
You believe that?
I believe it. I think they're being cocky and just being like, Steph, just sit out this season.
I don't know, man.
Or this series.
They didn't say there was nothing. They said there was nothing of concern. So there's something there. Whether it's like a sprain or whatever it is, like, there was something on the MRI. It wasn't. There was no damage. They would have come out and said, "There's no damage at all." But if there was, I mean, there's nothing of concern. It's like basically like there's nothing that needs surgery.
Yeah.
But he's hurt. Like,
he sits out another game, I think.
I'll bet you he comes back then.
If he sits out another game, there's something wrong.
Yes.
If he's not back game four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they just lost a game.
Yeah.
Like they need to.
You can't screw around and just rest him because you're that arrogant and
right. Maybe
put yourself in a place where you could.
If he plays the next game, I think he's fine. If he doesn't, then it's like
Thunder, do everything you can to beat the Spurs.
Yeah, we've got to make this happen.
I mean, this year. Either way, though, like I don't foresee the Clippers beating them, but I think the Clippers are going to. And I said this at the beginning of the when we talked about it, the playoff previews. I think the Clippers are going to give them some problems. It could be a five-game problem, though. You know, they could still win the first three by – or the first two by, you know, 8 and 7. That's still giving the Warriors a problem, right? And then pull one at home and, you know, maybe lose that way. But I just think – I think the Clippers are playing really well. Obviously, Portland's not great.
DeAndre's going to be a problem for them. Blake looks really good.
And Chris Paul's still a really good point guard.
Chris Paul's good. J.J. Redick has been like a top three shooting guard this season in the entire league.
Oh, I love that guy, man.
Maybe two.
Austin Rivers
has been making shots.
Who are the... I mean, I would still think like Clay and Harden are still better.
Clay and Harden, but you're right. J.J. Redick's right there.
Jimmy Butts.
Not this year, I'd take.
He hadn't been that great. He's been hurt.
So two questions, just because, just listening to you all talk about Cleveland and the rest of the East. Who has the best chance out of Toronto? You're thinking, so Toronto, Miami, Atlanta,
yeah,
and the Cavs. Any of them giving Cleveland anything?
I think Atlanta.
I think it's Atlanta.
They have the most, what they're doing now, I can see them doing it the rest of the playoffs. Miami, I can't really see them playing like this.
That way. And they play next round, too.
Toronto, I just don't trust them to be able to beat a team like Cleveland. But I think Atlanta, they've got a lot of really good players. They've got wings that can defend LeBron. I think Atlanta's the best shot. What did they have, a 25% chance to beat them?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great.
But a good coach, good defense, yeah, good athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my pick out of the East right now. Yeah. Okay. The Hawks.
But still, six game. Yeah, it's Cleveland.
Cleveland's going to win.
All right.
Let's move on to some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions!
Our first Twitter question is from at Han Mabrody, who wants to know if each member of the starting five and Dion were a fast food restaurant, which restaurant would they be?
Kevin, so this question hits right to the heart of who we are.
This is basically
everything
that we want to be and are. Yeah. This is us.
Mm-hmm. You connect the Thunder and fast food.
Mama, we made it.
You win. Kevin Durant.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Good.
I was going to say, yeah.
Always good.
Always good.
Great always service. Good. Very consistent. You always know what you're getting every time.
Yeah.
Unless it's game two.
Unless it's friendly. Game two. Friendly. Very friendly.
Mm-hmm. Very friendly.
Mm-hmm. Calls you sir.
Meets my needs.
Hey.
Meets my needs.
Emotionally and nutritionally.
They have, they all experience a lot of pleasure.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Don't do that. No. It's Taco Bueno.
No, it's Taco Bell. It's Bueno. Why do you say Bell? Why do you say Bueno? I'll tell you why I say Bell.
Because Bueno is so good, but there's still some room for error there.
See? My reason
every once
is,
in a while, you're going to get diarrhea.
Every once in a while, something bad's going to happen. You're going to get the dyes. You're going to, things are going to happen.
The but reason I say it. Taco Bell is because when you get good Taco Bell, it's the best.
Yeah, but
when you get bad Taco Bell,
that's why the I'm just worst. Skipping. That's why Dion Waiters is Taco Bell.
Yes. Dion Waiters is 100% Taco Bell because
it's 70% diarrhea, 30% chance of good.
Yes.
No, you're way off.
No. Come on.
I know he's way off on the diarrhea percentage. Taco Bell.
It's 90%. Yeah. Taco Bell, on the surface, you think Taco Bell's got all the skills to be a great Mexican
exactly.
restaurant. It's got everything it needs. But you know what? The employees are a little shaky.
It's just not going to get there.
And the beef is a little tubey.
It's a little, yes. There are too many tubes happening in the back of Taco Bell. And there's too many step back tubies for Dion Waiters.
I wanted Dion Waiters to be Whataburger because I love Whataburger. It's my savior, my late night meal savior.
It is a savior.
Just like Dion. And then you call him Dion Whataburger Waiters.
What a burger if he does anything.
Serge Ibaka.
Rainforest Cafe.
That's
so racist. Oh my God.
Here's mine.
Had that one ready.
Here's mine. Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah.
Here's why. Because people don't quite trust Jack in the Box yet. You know what? They're doing good things right now. They're making good things. But you know what? You still don't quite trust them because of their history.
It's true.
And their food poisoning history. And you don't still quite trust Serge Ibaka because of his food poisoning regular season where he was just hot garbage for most of the season. Mm. But you know what? He's turning it around.
He's got potential.
There's new ad campaigns going on that you're excited about.
What other place serves tacos and
burgers? It sounds like he should be
Del Taco.
Oh, gross.
Chipotle?
I know, but yeah, what other place?
That's them. Weird. I didn't know Del Taco.
No, I mean, Chipotle, people are still very much afraid of.
That's true.
Yeah. No one goes to Chipotle anymore.
No way. Qdoba is just reigning king.
Chipotle is the White House
right now. Oh, cephalopod. Cephalopod.
There's a...
All right. What about...
There's a bug.
There's a mosquito. Sorry. There's a bug.
What about... Cephalopod. Andre Robertson.
Andre Robertson. Andre Robertson is Wendy's because he's only good half the time. Wendy's is only good half the time.
I disagree.
I was going to say Subway.
Subway.
It's just kind of there. And it just kind of is what it is.
I'm there, say, you know what you're getting.
But here's the bad thing about Subway. Where the flaw in my Subway analogy is the fact that Subway's never... You never enjoy Subway. Like, I enjoy Robertson. Like, I'll watch him and I'm like, gosh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Robertson's defense is the Nuggets. Everything else, you're just like, you can really deal with. You just
Wendy's is a double. Wendy's got a double stack, too. That's
it's good.
No,
I say that Robertson is Taco Mayo.
Mm.
Because he's got great defense, and so does Taco Mayo, because they keep me away.
Hey, here's so small tidbit about Wendy's.
Good job of making me not eat there.
Wendy's here in Oklahoma City is every one of them. You're like, they haven't cleaned this place in 20 years. You go to other, like, so I just got back from Florida. Like, they're all really nice. Like, Wendy's across the country is not as hot garbage as it is here. Just a heads up.
All right.
That's scary. And that's your Wendy's moment.
It's good to know.
Steven Adams.
Steven Adams.
I'm going to go KFC because I think when he gets really old and all his hair turns white, he'll look like the Colonel.
He'd probably want to do one of those Colonel commercials.
I think he would.
That would be hilarious if they had a guy with a weird accent doing a southern accent.
He's my Qdoba because Qdoba's freaking awesome and no one really recognizes it.
It's true.
No one really talks about Qdoba as being one of the best fast food...
Reigning king of the burrito places right now.
It's the best.
Oh, for sure.
But
for sure.
What's the difference maker? Number one, queso.
The queso is good.
Queso's so good.
Taco Mondays.
Everything is fresh. Everything
same
is fresh.
They got good guac and good sour cream.
They do have good guac.
It's solid every time. Maybe not going to put up a ton of stats, but it's so good.
You know what mine is? I think Steven Adams is Arby's, and you want to know why?
Because
he's got
the meats.
That I'm so upset about this.
Why?
Because I hate that ad campaign. Because he's
got the meats.
I talked about it. They had Unthinking Arby's, which is the best.
I know, man.
And now they have We've got the meats. And they just introduced a fish sandwich that they're calling Ocean meat.
Yeah, that's why Steven Adams cannot be Arby's because Steven Adams would never eat ocean meat.
The other thing, Alex Spears texted me, friend of the pod, Alex Spears, texted me and was like, so is like turkey, is that going to be like air meat next? And I was like, dude, watch out. You're about to get a job at Arby's.
No, he said like quail or something.
Quail, there air meat.
I'm about to say turkey. Do turkeys fly?
Turkeys don't fly. Very temporary.
Anybody else? Like, I know we're only supposed to do starting five and Dion, but
Cantor is the Mediterranean one. Okay, 5-4-1.
I figured
1.
You would go somewhere that.
It's by
Pita
my house.
Pit.
Yeah,
that's a fast food one. All right, that feels uncomfortable.
Cool. No, that's great. Thanks for the question.
Cantor, he's like a Chinese restaurant.
Jeremy Lin is Panda Express.
Yeah.
Okay, now can we move on?
All right, our next Twitter question comes from at Matt Kendrick, who wants to know which is worse, Jim Traber and Al Ashbach, Brian Davis and Michael Cage, or Patrick Beverley?
All right, for me.
So if you don't know, Jim Traber and Al Ashbach are we have a local here in Oklahoma City. We have a local sports station called The Sports Animal, and there's two sports stations franchise. We got it, John Am. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. So Jim Traber, Al Ashbach are part of Sports Animal. They've been on air for Al Ashbach's been on the air. I remember listening to him as a kid. He's been on air for 30 years.
Yeah.
Jim Traber's been on air for probably the last 20. Think of Rush Limbaugh in the sports game, right? They're sensationalists. They overreact. And really, both of their expertise, Traber is a baseball guy. He played professionally. And they both know football, especially OU for Alishback. And they're both awful most of the time.
Yeah. And creepy.
I don't listen to the sports animal from once football season's over. I don't listen to him again until August because of those two guys. And then Brian Davis, Michael Cage are our local Oklahoma City Thunder color commentators. You probably know that if you're listening. And then color commentary, play-by-play. And Patrick Beverly is the devil.
So for me, it really comes down because Brian Davis and Michael Cage they're just kind of cute. On some level, but Alishback and Jim Traber aren't like they're just
yeah.
And Patrick Beverly is the worst, so it really comes down to those two.
Yeah, because Brian Davis and Michael Cage, it's like they annoy me. But you know what I watched last night? Their broadcast.
Yeah,
I would never choose their broadcast. Also,
over last night's TNT crew, I definitely did.
Who was last night's TNT crew?
It was Brent Berry and some guy.
You don't like Brent Berry.
And
they're fine. It was just a little much. And I also am a weird superstitious, like I'll switch between them whenever the Thunder make runs.
If things aren't going well, I'll switch back.
Yeah. And Ian changing shirts at halftime. Can I talk about Ian? His name is freaking Ian. Ian is not a name. I hate that he goes by Ian.
Who? Ian Clark? Who are you talking about?
Ian Eagle, isn't that his name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy with Brent Berry, the other commentator.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's not Ian.
I mean, he can call it whatever he wants.
Ian.
He can.
Anyways,
it's Ian.
So for me right now, it's Traber and Ashback.
Yeah, because here's the deal: I will never tune in to listen to them, but I will. I'm intrigued. I was intrigued to watch Beverly play against Curry.
Yeah,
and I wanted to tune in to watch that.
And he's actually good at basketball.
He's been good. Like he can shoot. Yeah. He's a good defender. He's
and
pesky.
Beverly played against Curry, and Curry got hurt.
It's true. Ooh. Thank you, Beverly.
Thanks, Pat. Anyways,
I apologize.
I will watch Patrick Beverly. I will never listen to Traber and Ashback.
Yep.
Never.
All right. See ya. Our next Twitter question comes from @Sam_Hart89, who wants to know, why is Randy Foy still getting minutes? Is there any chance Sam Presti re-signs him after this year?
I really don't think that he's going to get re-signed. I don't think that there's any reason to re-sign him. I think that Cameron Payne is going to play minutes for this team. I also think that they're going to try to bring over Alex Abrines. I think that Josh Huestis is going to, you know, at least get a good look. Maybe he won't be like in the rotation next year, but I think that he'll get a good look. I also think that they're going to try to do something on the wing this summer. Like they're going to have to, in my opinion, especially if Durant stays. Like,
unless you feel like one of those guys is an option, right? Is the option if Abrines comes over and
yeah, if
and
that he's the if guy, that happens,
or Huestis continues to develop. Like, I think Huestis has a ton of potential to be that guy.
I think he could, man.
But Alex Abrines is supposedly the one that could be the.
Yeah, he's high IQ. Like the guy, he could
shoot. He could play some defense.
Right in. I don't think that Foy should come back or belongs on this team. Like, it's just not a good fit. And I think that, I mean, Sam Presti sees that. He sees what's happening. Like,
Does he? Like, why does he continue to play then? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but
every analytic goes against him on the floor, at least as the point guard. And they continue to
offensive.
Go. Yeah.
Offensive analytics.
So he's better. I got you.
The defensive analytics say something else.
Yeah. So, but God, just looking at that, it's just horrible. And people, yeah. We made the comparison to Derek Fisher, right? Whenever we picked him up, like he's into Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher was light years more productive than Randy Foy, which is crazy.
He was a lot better.
Because I hated watching Derek Fisher, but he was way better than Foy's been.
He was way better.
So we don't get it. We don't get it either. I would say there is always a chance. The Jeremy Lamb situation just makes me nervous for campaign. Like, I know he's already better than Jeremy Lamb was.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? It just makes me look cautious. Look gun-shy. Yeah,
the thing is that he's a rookie in the playoffs, and he's a point guard.
Yeah.
Like, those guys usually don't play.
Yeah, you're
It takes a very special circumstance for guys like that to play. And it's not like Foy's only playing like 12 minutes a game.
Yeah, and he's going to get less, I think, because last night in the second half, he only played mop.
They'll play Russ more. They'll play Durant more as the ball handler. They'll play Deion more as the ball handler. Like,
maybe Cantor.
They don't need – man, Cantor's so good, man. He hitting those threes, that was so great.
He had a filthy dunk last night, too.
He's 23. He's going to – like those – like that three-point shot's going to be like a real thing all the time.
Guys, he's younger than me.
Whoa.
Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at RAShwartzman09, who wants to know, if you could pick three Thunder players to be on a laser tag team with, who would they be?
Mitch McGarry is so good at laser tag because he goes to it all the time.
I love our Twitter questions.
He owns a laser tag place.
Yeah.
You can't pick a big guy.
Small people.
Okay? You just can't.
Mitch McGarry's going to cheat.
You ever play in those laser tag where the guys get really low to the ground and they're like...
Which is cheating.
Turning their deals upside down. You're cheating. Just like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening right now?
Themselves.
Campaign is my number one pick.
Because sure, he's a tiny guy. He seems tiny.
He's
Dion?
No, Dion would have no idea what to do with laser tag.
I believe in Dion for that reason.
Russell Westbrook,
surely Russ,
is on my team, and then
Kevin Durant is not on my team.
Josh Huestis for strategy.
He graduated from Stanford.
He is a Stanford grad. He's got to have great laser tag strategies.
I have almost a completely different team. I have KD,
too big,
Morrow, and Huestis because they're all sharpshooters.
Hey-o.
I like that Huestis is now considered a sharpshooter, like in the same like tier as KD and Morrow. Yeah.
I would not want Anthony Morrow because the dude can't move.
No, he can't.
He's so slow. He won't get to the hiding spots fast enough.
He's gonna get in the corner and be a sharpshooter.
I'm not a believer. I'm sorry.
I'm so bad at laser tag.
You know who would be the worst? Yeah, I can imagine.
Man, I'm really. I was really good because what I would do, like, it was like middle school. That's when laser tag was really hot. That's
it. It was great.
So I'd follow. There'd always be the couple, like guys and girls would go. And there's always be the couple that would sneak to the back and put down their laser tag equipment and just make out. And I'd just shoot both of their stuff and just rack up the points. It was great. That's
hey, you're all, you win. Everyone's a winner in that
that's,
scenario.
That's right. You win.
That's the key strategy.
It really is.
So you only win if people decide to make out.
No, it just happens on every laser tag game.
That's
ever.
True.
It's a dark, foggy place.
Do you guys like the smell of laser tag? It's such a weird smell. It's such a distinct smell.
It's been too long. It's been way too long.
Get ready, like, ladies and gentlemen. After the season's over, we're going to have a down-the-dunk laser tag night.
That's right.
Dude, do they
Laser Quest.
Do they have adult bev laser tag nights anywhere?
That would be a disaster.
Maybe we could do it. We could get one of those pizza party rooms.
Main event?
Main event.
You could do main event.
Maybe.
I can't wait to blow out my ACL at this tag yeah. event. It's going to be great.
Picture myself losing both Achilles tendons.
Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at asternlicht35, who wants to know, if Billy D let you pick someone to sit the rest of the playoffs, who would you pick and why?
Randy Foy. Because he sucks.
But.
That's why.
Or Steph Curry. Is that an option?
Yeah.
Just on the Thunder. Yeah, it's Randy Foy. We've already hit this point a lot, but
yeah. Kyle Singler would have been a candidate, but he's already sitting down.
Yeah. So somebody already had this question and answered it.
I've got a Twitter question coming up right now from at Jamie Don Wheat.
I've got
JD Dub, who wants to know, will you guys pray for me the rest of the season and off season? The stress is killing him, and Harden's E60 didn't help.
He asked two questions before this, and they were the typical OG JD Dub question about would you rather have a championship or them stay or them go or whatever.
He's just terrified.
He's terrified. Now, Jamie, try to enjoy this time, please.
Why would somebody like OG JD Dub watch the E60?
I don't know.
Like, I haven't watched
it.
Like, it's not going to do anything beneficial for me.
Right. That's right.
It's like, hey, I'm in this really bad mood, and so I'm going to watch all the things that make me mad.
Or you're in a good mood, and then you watch that, and you're so mad.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I don't know. Try to enjoy it. We will be praying for you, man. Listen, I know that you're having trouble enjoying things right now.
Jamie, you know what you do? You give the best, what are they called? Shave ice? You give the best shave ice test in Oklahoma City, and you need to not do anything else that's not as joy-giving as
that is. Rejoice in the good, man. Grateful and blessed.
You're grateful and blessed, grateful Jamie. And blessed. Stop watching E60s.
Yeah, don't do this to yourself.
Bless up, JD Dub.
You're better than this. Come on.
Hashtag bless up.
All right, our next Twitter question comes from @Sam_Mark_Kelly, who wants to know, who has got a higher ceiling, Adams or Cantor?
It's a hard one.
This is a hard one. My gut just says Steven Adams. It's not even close.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I agree. I was waiting for a battle. Is he athletic?
He's not athletic at all.
He's not an athlete.
I think you're right, and which is crazy. I think Cantor, his ceiling would be just defense. Like, where is he going to get defensively? Yeah. Adams has the chance to be good at both. He will never be as good as Cantor offensively.
Never, ever.
But he has a chance to be serviceable there and elite on defense, in my mind.
Yes, and a good playmaker, too. Like, there's just more areas to
Steve's. Decent passer, too. He can't
be. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And he's how old?
22.
Guys, he's younger than me. I think it's Steve, though.
Yeah, I think it's Adams, because he has the potential to be, and he already is, like a defensive anchor.
Yeah.
Plus, he could be everything else. Like, he could be real Andrew Bogut-y.
Yeah, could be, like, real team, become a good team leader, too. Like, yes. He's already Cantor's coach. So weird. But he just has he has more areas that he can expand into than Cantor can.
He'll be a passer. He's a guy, he's got good touch around the rim. He's not, like, Perk or anything where you're just like, oh, he's just a defensive stopper, but he's got touch around the rim. He can rebound on both ends. Like, he's got the potential to be probably maybe a top 10 center. I can't remember. Chris Mannix was on Thunder Buddies podcast and said that he thought that Steven Adams could be a top 5 center in the league going forward. I don't think that highly of him, but I do think that he could be approached like top 10, top 15. Like, the center list is a lot. There's a lot of good centers out there, especially like if you consider Towns a center. You know, what do you consider Anthony Davis to be? What is his ultimate like position going to be? So like top 5 is like a little bit kind of crazy to me, but top 10, like I think he could approach that. So yeah, I think it's Adams, but Cantor. I don't want to like undersell what Enes Kanter is, because the dude is an offensive savant. Like, he can shoot the ball. He has a great post game. His footwork is incredible under the basket. His offensive rebounding is a real weapon. But he'll never be a shot blocker, never be a rim defender. At best, we can hope that he'll be an average defender, which he's not. He's not that, but. Yeah, it's Adams, and he's not a passer
at all.
Like, his feel for the he's got a good feel for the game when he has the ball, but like to see the floor, like he didn't have that.
Yeah, at all. When he tries to pass, I feel more uncomfortable than him just taking a shot under the basket with 5 people around him.
Yeah,
so strange. It feels so awkward. He doesn't know how to like. It's weird because he has such good touch around the rim, but he has terrible touch when he's passing the ball. Yeah. It's like he's a different person. Anyway, it's Adams.
It's always kind of surprising when he misses, too.
Yeah,
Cantor, because he's got great shot selection. And when he misses, you're just like, oh.
He makes everything. If he's at the rim, he makes everything.
Yeah, he's freaking good.
Let's move on to our final Twitter
question.
It comes from... It comes from Mayor BH, who wants to know, how does Cleveland manage to use J.R. Smith, 7 from 11, from 3 last night, and hide him on D, and Oklahoma City can't find a way to use Morrow more?
They are, like, night and day different players, is why. Like, J.R. Smith is a freaking athlete. Like, this guy... He's one of the most athletic shooting guards in the league. And I think that Morrow's one of the worst athletes on the perimeter in the NBA. J.R. Smith's not a bad defender when he's engaged.
Right.
J.R. Smith can also like run a pick and roll. He can pass. Like, J.R. Smith is so freaking talented. Anthony Morrow's not. Anthony Morrow's a good shooter, and that's it. So that's why they can play him, because he's like 3 times the player than Anthony Morrow is.
Yes. I don't know what else to say. He's just better than Anthony
Morrow. Is there a part of it just to kind of continue that conversation just a little bit longer, but is there part of it because of the team that's around him too? Right? Like, does LeBron, because LeBron is not somebody, and Durant's really working hard to be a better defender, but he's not LeBron. You know, and I don't know how LeBron's been.
Durant's been good, man. He's been really good.
I know, yeah. And I just think that maybe the rest of, if the rest of the team is engaging defensively, then they can hide somebody like that.
But he plays with Kyrie all the time.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, he plays with Kyrie Irving out there.
It's just the fact that JR isn't as bad as Morrow.
JR's good, man.
He's just better.
Anthony Morrow probably wouldn't play on this Cavs team either.
Yeah. No, if Channing Frye isn't playing with this Cavs team in the playoffs, then Morrow's
It's a really similar situation to Frye. Frye's better than Morrow.
Yeah, I'd do more things with him,
Yeah, I mean, Morrow's got that elite skill that you're just, like, you kind of, I mean, you really want him to play because, like, you know exactly what he can bring you, but, man, like, he just can't do, like, if he could do one other thing well, like, if he was, like, a really good passer or something like that, you could play him.
It
doesn't even necessarily have to be a defensive skill. Like, if he could do one more thing on offense, I think that you could play him more. But the fact that he just is so incredibly one-dimensional, I think that he's just a specialist. And there comes a time where you need guys like that to play. And I think that Billy will use him, but I just don't. Man, I just think his lack of ability, especially compared to a guy like J.R. Smith, is.
And it's hard because you watch him and you want to like him so much because he plays hard, he celebrates, he's a great teammate. Like, he's out there, he shoots,
he's a great guy.
Well, and
it's not that he's Instagram
ever.
Posts.
It's not that he's ever out of position is the crazy thing. You know, it's just he cannot stay in front of anybody.
No.
If you're going to detract from Cantor because of defense, like Morrow is a. I mean, he literally, there's not a guard in the league he can stay in front of.
No, he's way worse. Yeah, there has to be somebody on the other team to hide him on. There just has to be. And in the Western Conference, especially when you get to the second round, there's just like...
nobody.
There's not a lot of hiding places. If some like miracle happened and they played the Clippers in the conference finals, like they could play him against Luke Richard and Bob Mute. That'd be great.
All right, guys.
That's about it.
That is it for Twitter questions. In red text, Thibodeau, Scott Brooks, getting jobs.
Yeah, two big hires this week. The Timberwolves hired Thibodeau.
I love that hire for
them. Tremendous. If he doesn't drive them all into the ground, which is kind of his big deal. But
well, and if
they got young legs right now.
So. Like, who is he? Is he going to be Doc Rivers and, like, bring in all these, like...
Is he also GM?
He's president.
Yeah,
he's
president. Oh, gosh.
So...
that rarely goes well.
It's not great. Stan Van's done a good job.
Yep. That's
it. Is he going to be Stan Van or is he going to be Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Is he going to find his son and bring him onto the team?
Well, it depends too. Like Pop is like works with the GM all the time too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe Tibbs could do that too.
Like.
Yeah. If Tibbs will not do it on his own,
right?
He will be great. But the thing is that like. He's already got a roster that's freaking set. I hope that they don't try to like use their cap space and like bring somebody in and
just draft another fit.
They're going to have another top five pick. Bring him in.
What are you going for in this draft? For your
just develop
shooting guard,
man. Power forward. They have tried so many guys at power forward and they've all been pretty sucky.
Because Towns is you're going to play him at center.
He's a center.
Yeah, you got to play him five.
Yeah.
Think about Thibodeau's defensive
that's what I'm saying.
Mindset with Wiggins and Towns.
And LaVine, too.
And Rubio.
And LaVine, that's
Rubio.
Right.
Like
holy smokes.
They could be, if they reach their potential, they could be like a top five defense next year.
Yeah. It's nuts. They need to find a power forward.
If they can stay healthy, they're making the playoffs next year. Call them.
I was just thinking where... Gorgie plays.
Gorgman.
Is he kind of backup for Towns?
They play him and Towns have played together.
You're not
quite
surprised
a bit
that I haven't watched a ton of Timberwolves.
Come on,
games,
dude.
Right?
But Gorgie doesn't stretch out the floor as much as they would like their four to be. Because they could be five
I don't
out.
Know. I mean he's pretty he's got good touch at like 15 feet.
Yeah, but don't you want a 3-point? Wouldn't you just want to go five out at that point when Towns is your center?
I mean, that'd
center?
Be great.
Yeah.
Draft Express has them drafting Chris Dunn, a point guard out of Providence at five. I don't see that probably happening unless there's just not a power forward.
That doesn't seem to be
there.
A great fit, but they need a power forward.
Yep. They're pretty deep on guard, like shooting guards or wings anyway. You got Shabazz, LaVine.
LaVine was awesome down the stretch when they played him at shooting guard.
He's really awesome every time they play the Thunder.
He was just good the second half of the season.
He shot the ball really well. I think he was over 40% from three after good the passer. All-Star break.
When he's not the point guard, he's a good passer.
Right. When he's whenever he's your secondary playmaker, he's like, that dude's good.
Yeah.
Wiggins is going to only get better. Man, that team is going to be so good going forward. They'll be competing for, you know, the Western Conference Finals within 3 years.
Pushing 50 games.
Yeah. They're the Thunder of today, of yesterday, today.
Wow.
And tomorrow.
And then Scott Brooks went to Washington. He'll be the coach of the Wizards.
Man, that's just like, it's like a total buzzkill to this Washington team that needed they needed like Mike D'Antoni or like somebody like
D'Antoni
that.
D'Antoni would have been a great fit.
Somebody that's going to take this team and they're going to just run the ball up and down the floor and play a spread type offense where it's going to be really, really fun. But they brought in Scott Brooks, who is not exciting. Like, that's not exciting at all. Like, if this is a push to get KD, like, it's a bad sorry. Decision. Like,
when Chris Mannix came out yesterday and said that
his article, did you read it?
I mean, it was awesome. The report I read this morning is that Durant will not go to Washington.
No, he's not going to Washington. They missed the freaking playoffs with the roster that they had. They're a mess. It's a mess of the roster's a mess because they have like their front court is all like older guys and their back court's like this young duo, but one of them has a minutes restriction maybe for the rest of his career. John Wall still can't shoot. Like that, I don't know.
How good would John Wall be if D'Antoni was his coach?
He would be awesome. Oh my That's what God, I'm saying.
He'd be like, amazing so next year.
Yeah, and Beal. Like, if Beal can stay healthy, you know, that's the bigger deal for him.
And I mean, you can also say, like, Scott Brooks made Russell Westbrook who he is, partly.
Yeah.
And, like, that excites you some. But, like, still, like, Scott Brooks, like, he's going to get this team to play hard. He's going to help develop younger guys. Maybe this will be good for some of their younger wings. But overall, like, it's really just kind of a blah hire for me. And they played, I mean, they paid him a lot.
Yeah. It's but, how so, much?
5 year, 35 mil.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And it's a step up from Whitman, but not enough steps to where what you're saying, like,
think,
where you'd
be excited. I think they'll be back in the playoffs next year. I think that Brooks is that good where he's going to get them back in the playoffs. But what are they going to be competing for? Are they going to be that? I don't think they're going to be very much fun. I think if you could get this team to just be like a really fun team, like they could start to sell out the arena. Like people would love this team if they were Mike D'Antoni-esque and they would go get.
I just thought of something.
What?
Scott Brooks is going to be Markieff Morris's coach. I didn't even think about that. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
That's incredible to think about. I had no idea. It just hit me.
Yeah, and we've never seen Scott Brooks outside of having just incredible superstars and incredible development. We just haven't seen that. So how good is, I mean, this will show how good of a coach Scott Brooks is.
Yeah.
Like if he's not that good and his lack of creativity is a real issue, like it's going to be exposed with a team like this.
Guys, are you miffed? And are you peeved?
Miff!
Miff!
Miff! Miffed and peeved.
Guys. Are you miffed? I miffed about names. That Ian thing really does miff me off. I work with an Ian, and he doesn't tell people that his name is Ian at fast food restaurants. He says James. I was like, why? You know, like Ian's a pretty common name. He's like, people don't know what that name is. I said, what do you mean people don't know what Ian is? He said, I'll write Ian and they won't know what it is. They'll think it's like Jan or something. And it's like, it's shocking to me that people don't know the name Ian. Modern day people, like people, real life people. And then you have Ian Eagle over here calling his name, saying his name's Ian. Just making it tougher on all the other Ians. Man. So heart goes out to you, Ians.
All for Ians. I'm a little miffed because I'm running the half marathon, the Memorial half marathon on Sunday. Ugh. And I don't know if I'm quite ready.
Ugh. What? How far have you gone so far?
I mean, I've done like 11 miles.
And you've done numerous of these
good.
Before, right?
I've done these before. I'm just not quite as prepared as I was.
Ugh. Ugh. Okay, I'm miffed and peeved that you're going to do that because last weekend I pulled two frames of bowling
and I'm still sore from it.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah. Like my legs have just got to the point where they've stopped hurting. My arms now are what really are hurting.
Why are your legs hurting?
It's a full body workout.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast.
No, wait. Okay.
Can we record me talking about playoff?
No. No way.
Just do it now, dude. Just go.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we're back.
And we're back. Hey, if you guys still want a playoff shirt, I'm doing a special promo for you DTD listeners. So email us at DTDpodcast. Wait, what? DTDpodcast@gmail.com and put in the words "Happy Birthday, Dion," and I'll give you 25% off a shirt, and we'll just yeah.
Hey,
you
still want a playoff shirt?
That's a deal. They're really soft, American Apparel, super soft. Real clean, simple shirts. Email us dtdpodcast@gmail.com. Happy birthday, Dion.
Oh, look at your nostrils, man.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at @DTDpodcast. And ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.